the coffee with the extra flavor. That brings you Mike Editor. Another Night Editor story written and told by Hal Burdick. Tonight, a newspaper yarn of a reporter who turned detective to solve a murder mystery titled One in a Thousand.
Police Chief's voice was scornful as he addressed the reporter. Huh. You're so smart, suppose you tell us who murdered John Kimberly.
Larry smiled.
Well, I've got a hunch who did it. A hunch that could be miles wrong, but of this I'm sure. The man who did it was one in a thousand, Chief. And I think I know who that one is.
Friends, how would you like to hear some facts, not just claims about coffee? Well, naturally, you're interested because there's so much pleasure to be gotten from a cup of coffee that's really good. Now, you know, we claim that Edwards Coffee is exceptionally rich and specially made to give you an extra flavor lift. All right, but what are the facts behind this claim? Simply these. Edwards Coffee is made the luxury custom way under the exclusive Edwards formula, now two generations old. Every pound of Edwards Coffee is prepared under Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal supervision. Only the choicest Central and South American coffees are used. The coffee beans themselves are expertly tested for size and color, even for shape. They're blended in small batches by flavor, not by weight, then roasted by the modern controlled thermal process, roasted right to the golden peak of flavor and aroma, then ground and immediately packed under high vacuum. So try a pound of Edwards coffee in the regular, drip, or pulverized grind. If you don't thoroughly enjoy it, your money will be refunded. Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, this has been a very busy evening in the newsroom. Al and Bobby were glad for the brief respite from the clattering typewriters and telephone bells that gave them time to head for the corner lunchroom. Now, with steaming cups of coffee before them on a little table in the corner booth.
Sugar, Al?
No, I think I'll take it as it is, Bobby.
Well, I saw Charlie reaching for the Edwards jar to make fresh for us as we came in. Shouldn't need anything but drinking.
Right you are. That murder yarn we're playing on page one looks like a hot story, Bobby. Let's keep on top of it, huh?
Well, we got two good men working on it. Jim Briggs and Barney, the police reporter.
Yeah. I wish I had Larry Clark working on it.
Larry Clark?
Yeah, covered the police beat for me when I was on the city desk in the old days. Kind of a reporter who didn't wait for the police handouts. Developed his own clues. As on the Mayor John Kimberly story.
I don't seem to remember that one, Hal.
No, it was before your time, Bobby. Big story when it happened. Yeah, the mayor of the city shot to death in his office one night. Not a clue as to who might have done it. Not until Larry got on the job.
And I suppose he solved it with a simple twist of the wrist. Just like that.
Your irony is slightly misplaced, my boy. Let me tell you about it. Might be good for you to hear how a real reporter worked out a story. Because on that yarn, as in this one we're working on tonight, the police didn't have much to go on. A night janitor in the city hall had discovered the mayor, slumped over his desk in a little private office down an inner corridor from the main reception room, with a bullet hole in the top of his head. The door to the office was open partway, held there by a heavy iron doorstop, which made it plain that whoever fired the shot hadn't pushed open the door and come into the office, but had sneaked down the corridor and fired at the mayor, back of his desk, through that narrow opening. The corridor also led to a private entrance at the other end. The janitor was the only person in that part of the city hall at the time. Everyone else had left long since. He'd seen no strangers about and hadn't heard any shot. Naturally, the police checked him pretty closely, but from the start, it was plain he was in the clear. There was one other possibility. Some years before, while serving as district attorney, John Kimberly had convicted and sent to prison a notorious gunman, Bruno Franks, who had threatened revenge when his time was up. He'd been paroled recently and was reported headed back for his old haunts. Detectives were assigned to search for him. And for close to the next 24 hours, there it stood. The whole thing a deep mystery, without a single lead being developed and the whole city growing more and more agitated. It was late the next evening. A worried, baffled group of men sat and stood around the mayor's office, moodily staring at the walls and floor as
as if expecting the room itself to break the silence that drew a veil of mystery around what had happened there. The group included Police Chief Tom Doyle, Captain Joe Scott, head of the homicide squad, and some of the sharpest minds in his division, Orrin Kent, the mayor's secretary, and last, but not the least of them by any means, Larry Clark, who hadn't slept since the story broke. Chief Doyle looked across at the detective captain.
Now, Joe, we're right where we started. What next? I wish I had the answer, Chief.
The chief's frown deepened.
We better have it, and soon. John Kimberly was the most popular mayor this town ever had. We don't develop something that looks like a lead, we're going to find ourselves on a red-hot griddle of public opinion. And with the newspapers,
his eyes centered on Larry,
ready to keep plenty of fuel on the fire.
His eyes narrowed as Larry met their glare without giving way.
How about it, Clark?
Larry grinned. Wouldn't be surprised by what you're right, Chief. The editorial writers are oiling their typewriters to go after you.
Yeah, all right. Suppose you tell us who to pinch.
Well, I've got a wild hunch, if you're interested. The chief's snort of derision was echoed by the others in the room, but Larry was hurrying on. And no fooling. I've developed an idea of my own about this killing, Chief. Probably it won't prove out, but... Well, there is an experiment I'd like to try.
Go ahead, Sherlock Holmes. I need a laugh right now.
All right. And maybe it won't be the laugh you think it is. To begin with, my theory is this, Chief. Only one man in 1,000 could have killed Mayor John Kimberly.
So far, I'm not impressed.
Let me finish. As I figure it, the mayor had no idea he was being put on the spot. We all know he was sitting at his desk signing some papers when the killer let him have it. He didn't even know the guy was sneaking up on him because the bullet hit him in the top of his head. If the killer had passed that crack in the door or stuck his arm into the room or made any noise, the mayor would have looked up. The bullet would have hit him between the eyes. But he didn't look up. And that means whoever shot him never passed the opening, but stood out of sight and shot around the door casing. The detective captain grunted.
Now, that's a remarkable deduction.
Larry paid no attention, but went on. Now then, I'd like to try my experiment. Chief and Cap, you stand over there and watch closely. And, Sergeant, you pretend you're the mayor and sit in the chair back of his desk, huh? Grudgingly, they moved to their places. Larry's eyes circled the others of the group. Yeah, Kent, singling out the mayor's secretary. I'm going to ask you to stand by the door where the killer stood. The secretary drew back. No, not me. Let somebody else ought, just for the purposes of the experiment. Come on, be a good fella. Kent moved out into the hallway, his face registering his distaste for the part he was asked to play. Yeah, now, Sergeant, get your head down as if you were working over some papers on the desk. And, Kent, raise your hand like it was a gun. You know, with your finger out and thumb up and point it at the sergeant. A moment of hesitation. The hand raised slowly while the others tensed forward watching. An electric silence in the room. Then Larry's voice, cool, even. Why did you kill him, Kent? Color flamed in the secretary's face, then drained from it, leaving it a deathly gray. What do you mean? Kill whom? His glance darted from one pair to another of watching eyes, came back to Larry, defiance giving way to fear as Larry barked, "The mayor, you shot him. Why?"
You lie. I didn't do it. You're trying to frame me. Chief, Captain, he's trying to hang something on me. Don't you believe him? He's making...
Larry rose frantically. He backed toward the door, hands raised to ward off the detectives, who crowded in on him. As his knees gave way and he sank to the floor. By the time our second extra hit the street, we had the whole story of Kent's confession. A story that revealed him as a nephew of Lily's, who had served a term in an eastern reformatory, and had been taken over by the mayor when he got out in an effort to make something of the kid. Kimberly had held a strict hand over the boy, and Kent rebelled against it. Finally, he forged some checks against the mayor's personal account. The mayor kept it quiet, but held money out of Kent's salary to replace what Kent had stolen. The afternoon of the quarrel, of the killing, they had quarreled violently, and Kent, half-crazed by the mayor's refusal to give him the money he was holding back, had plotted the murder of his benefactor.
Yeah, Hal, but how did this Clark guy figure Kent was the killer?
Well, that's what Chief Doyle asked Larry late that night, Bobby. as some of us sat around the newsroom after the final home with the full story was put to bed. That Sherlock Holmes stuff you're kidding me about, Chief? Larry grinned back at him.
Yeah. How about letting the police department in on your methods?
Okay, Chief, I will. We all hunched closer as Larry went on. While everybody was sleuthing around for obvious clues, I did a little second-guessing on my own. As I saw it, the killer had to be somebody whose presence around the city hall after hours would be a matter of such common occurrence he wouldn't be noticed. Also, he'd have to be someone who knew the mayor would be there that night, and someone with a key to the private entrance that led to the inner corridor. Go on. The more I thought about it, the more Kent seemed to fit all the requirements. I became so convinced that I decided to give him a little test that I'd figured out. My one in a thousand test that I mentioned to you. Larry leaned forward. We were agreed the shot was fired through the narrow opening of the door without the killer showing himself, or the mayor knowing anyone was there. The chief nodded. Now, get this picture. The door to the mayor's office opens from right to left. In other words, the narrow opening as the door was propped open would be on the right side of anyone standing out in the hall facing it. Also, the approach down the corridor from the private entrance was from the right, so that to fire a shot through the opening without being seen, a man would have to hold the gun in his left hand. So what? The chief's voice was sharp. Chief, only one man in a thousand, including people who are southpaws and everything else, shoots left-handed. A slow smile spread over the chief's face, then gave way to a puzzled frown again as he asked,
Well, even so, how'd you finally decide it was Kent? You've never seen him shoot a gun, have you?
Nope, never did. But, Chief, did you notice when I put on the little act and asked him to play the part of the killer and pretend his hand was the gun that he was pointing at the sergeant? Right there, he proved he was that one in a thousand. It was his left hand that he raised and aimed.
When it comes to discovering the real thing in coffee, let me suggest this. Try a pound of Edwards coffee. That's the real thing for coffee enjoyment. Because Edwards gives you an extra flavor lift, a richness you'll instantly detect and always enjoy. You see, Edwards' exclusive flavor doesn't just happen. It's the result of Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula of years spent in the fine art of coffee making. Well, just to show you, Edwards coffee contains only the choicest Central and South American coffee beans, carefully pre-selected for size, shape, and color, then skillfully blended in small batches under Mr. Dwight Edwards' personal supervision, and not by weight, but by flavor. And that's not all. Edwards coffee is roasted by the thermal process only to bring out the full, natural coffee flavor, then immediately ground and vacuum-packed to bring that flavor to you in all its richness. Try Edwards coffee for that extra flavor lift. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. And now here's Hal with a word for us about next week's story from the newsroom.
Jimmy was a bombardier of a plane on its final mission. And Jimmy was gripped by a fatalistic belief that tonight the luck that had taken them through so many missions was due to run out. It brought him to a moment of abject fear to which he reacted strangely. And what he did gives us the story, Last Mission, that I'll tell you next week. Good night.
Be sure to join us in the newsroom at the same time next week when the roar of the presses brings us Hal Burdick and another original Night Editor story. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edwards Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.